evening, everyone. Saints and also future saints. I want to be positive. I want to believe that everybody that comes to this mission one day will get saved. Before I go to the message, I'd like to go before the Lord with a prayer. My Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come before your holy throne as a yielded vessel created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I pray here this evening, Lord God, that you would touch a heart and convict that heart to receive your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Use me for thy glory. In Jesus' name of Nazareth, I pray. Amen and amen. Today we're going to be talking about the second half. You know, in sports like basketball, they have two halves, the first half and the second half. And also in football, you have the first half and the second half. No team has ever played the first half and won the first half and said, well, friend, you know, guys, you know, we won, let's go home. But what they will say, we did very good in the first half, let's try to maintain that in the second half. See, with God, it's not how you came here, it's how you're going to leave here. You know, we all came here in sin. The Bible said we was born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and the sin that our mothers conceived us. That's how we came here. We look at the Saul of the New Testament, contrasting with the Saul of the Old Testament. In the book of 1 Samuel, the 9th chapter, God called out King Saul for king. In the 10th chapter, Samuel anointed Saul as king. And he was doing pretty good for a while. But when you get over into the 15th chapter, God told Saul, you know, to kill the Amalekites, destroy everything that they had. Well, you know, Saul kind of got a little selfish then. He saw that they had a little silver and gold and a few little other things. So Saul figured, well, you know, if I take a few of these little things, I mean, nobody would know about it, you know. Well, so that's how we are with God. When God tells us to give him all, we say, well, I just want to give God just some. I just want to hold back some for myself. I'm not really to really be so devout. I don't want to get such a fanatic in it. So they just want to give God just a little bit, and you want to hold on to most of their lifestyle. Well, you see, with King Saul, when he disobeyed God, God took his kingdom from him. Now, the Saul of the New Testament. Now, we can identify with that Saul because he started out bad. He was out there, you know, persecuting the church and killing the Christians and doing all kind of wickedness. But he had an experience on the Damascus Road. He was struck down by light. And Jesus Christ told Saul, 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 why do thou persecute me? So Saul was blinded. But you know, when Saul received his sight, he became the Apostle Paul. So yes, the Apostle Paul was one of the greatest apostles in the New Testament. And we can be like the Apostle Paul. Even though we started out in sin, we can end up in Christ's righteousness. And God wants that for each and every one of us, to give our lives over to Christ. So therefore, we have a future. You know, there's no future in sin. You know, it is sad today that you hear about people, young people, committing suicide. Why? There's no future. They look at themselves. They see that they're not going anywhere. They don't have any peace, any love, any joy. They have no assurance of a future. So they would take their life. You know, in my life, I started out at age 14. I started to drink. And later on, the same year, I started to smoke. And later on, I started fornicating. I started out like Saul, you know, of the Old Testament, of the New Testament. Started out in sin. And I was in sin for many years. I was losing my peace as I got older. I was losing my little joy as I got older. And it seemed like I kept having these so-called migraine headaches. And I used to drink a lot to try and get rid of that, but I was actually destroying myself in sin. But when I reached the age of 26 years old, I was so brokenhearted, and I started to cry a lot when I came home because I had no peace, and it seemed like the cigarettes and alcohol would just destroy me, and I didn't want to keep on going in that direction. So my first half was a really messed up first half of my life. I could have said, well, I'm just going to throw in the towel and just end it all, you know, just take my life. But you know what? In the fall of 1976, I met someone that gave me a better half, a better second half of my life, Jesus Christ. You see, no matter where you may be now, You may be on drugs, you may be on alcohol, you may be a heavy cigarette smoker. And you can see that the first half of your life is doomed. And there's nothing you can do to change it. We can't go back to day one and say, well, I'm just going to start all over again. I'm not going to get involved with cigarettes because I know what that's going to do to me. I'm not going to get involved in alcohol because I experienced that. We can't do that. But what we can do is start all over with God by faith in Christ. Amen. We can have a better future by faith in Christ. And that's what God wants out of each and every one of us. This is why the Bible says, set down and count the cost. In the book of 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, the Bible said, examine yourself to make sure that you're in the faith. You got to get it right. So many people have it wrong. You got to get it right. God is a righteous God. He's not a wishy-washy God. He's a righteous God. And he wants each and every one of us to be a partaker of his righteousness. Like the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. He became a partaker of Christ's righteousness by faith in Christ. It is said solid in the Old Testament. You know, he got to the point that he started going to a witch. That kind of sounds normal today. You know, people like to get involved with the horoscope. You know, they want to know what their sign is. They want to know what's going to happen today. So they have these numbers they call to their so-called psychic. Well, that's what Saul did. Saul got so bad he started going to the witch of Endor. They're trying to find out about, trying to reach God. A lot of people are trying to do that. They want to get involved in sin, thinking somehow, some way they can get in contact with God. But see, if you want to get in contact with God, you have to come through the channel which God has provided, and that channel is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus said in the book of John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto the Father but by me. So yes, we all have a shaky first half. We all have committed sin against God. We all deserve to go to hell. If God just said, well, I'm not going to give anybody grace. You messed up. That's it. I'm just going to call it quits. Boom. But you know what? That wouldn't be a loving God. But you know what a loving God did? Even though we have messed up many times, even though we have denied his righteousness many times, he still gave us Jesus Christ. Yes. In the book of Romans 5:8, the Bible said how God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died on that cross for our sins. So before we can prove ourselves to God, he gave us a way to prove ourselves by faith in Christ. We were just a vessel that's been used by the devil, and he still reached out by love to give us a better half, a second half. There's some people may accept Jesus Christ late on in life, and some people accept Jesus Christ early on in life. I hear about little kids, maybe at 5 or 6 years old, because of their parents, give their life over to Christ. My little granddaughter, when she was about 2 years old, you know, we went into the bedroom, and she knelt down, and she started praying. You know, she sounded very funny, but she was accepting Christ in her little heart, because I kept telling her about Christ, you know. And it's wonderful to see a little child, you know, making that prayer of confession, you know. And I asked my daughter about my granddaughter. She said she's a very sweet little girl. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes in, it just makes you a better person.
Yes.
Makes you a much better person. We see how people are acting today. You know, how women are killing babies, how men want to sodomize another man, how people just want to curse and just use all kind of filthy language. This is not why God made man.
No.
We're not put here to involve ourselves in sin. We were put here to glorify God in his righteousness. But as I said before, you can have a better half in Christ. I remember back in the 90s when the Buffalo Bills was playing Houston Oilers. And in the first half, Houston was beating Buffalo 35-7. And all the experts had given up on Buffalo. They says no way they can come back and win the game. You ever felt like that? The devil's beating you up? You look at your life, you're going nowhere. You got nothing. It seemed like you're just a waste. You just want to just end it all. But you know what? When the game was over in the second half, Buffalo won that game.
Amen.
See, you can be a winner too in your second half of your life. You can have a new leap, a new beginning in Christ. The Bible in the book of 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. In other words, a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things has become new. So when the Holy Spirit comes in by your faith in Christ, you will lose the taste for sin. The Holy Spirit will recreate you in righteousness. In other words, you start loving the thing God loves, and you start hating the thing God hates. You know, God loves righteousness, God hates sin. Many times people may walk up to you and say, well, man, I remember you when. That's the devil trying to take your mind back. Amen. To get you to meditate on your sinful lifestyle again. Sometime I meet my friends where, you know, they come by sometimes and say, hey, sir, remember that time we was in Brooklyn, man, when we did this? And we're, those are the times I've forgotten about. I don't want to go back to those times. That was my first half of life. The half that I was going out there indulging myself in sin. So I just asked the Lord to erase that part of my life and just print in my heart, in my spirit, Christ, a new beginning, a new half, a better half in life. So yes, God will now hold you accountable for how you were born. You had nothing to do with that. Whatever race you are, whatever sex you are, was God's choice. But he would hold you accountable for how you die. There's two ways you can leave this earth. You can leave this earth in Christ, or you can leave this earth in your sins. And God gives us many opportunities in this life to make the switch. You can turn from sin and you can receive Christ, or you can remain in sin and deny the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. God holds each and every one of us responsible for saving our souls by faith in Christ. That's your responsibility. Now, many people may try to use excuses because they're not willing to live up to that responsibility, but you're going to have to answer to Jesus Christ on the day of judgment. So even though you want to forget about a lot of things you did in the past, you can, by giving your life over to Christ and receiving His Holy Spirit. And getting into the Word of God and reading it, not just only reading it, but putting it into practice. A lot of people tell me they read the Bible, but when I look at them, I say, what are you doing with the words? You know, they still cursing, they still drinking, they still, you know, running behind women. I say, what are you doing with God's word? You just read the Bible, that's all. Now, the Bible is there for us to not only read it, but also put it into practice. Amen. Amen. I mean, you wouldn't go out and buy a new car, you know, and have that new car, polish that car up every day, and you still just walk to work every day. The idea of the new car is to drive the car to work. You know, God giving us the Bible, not for us just to use the Bible, just to read it one time and put it down and say, yeah, well, I read the Bible. I don't believe a lot of things the Bible said and still live like the devil. That's God's way for us to live by. That's God's blueprint for life, the Bible. It tells you why things are the way they are. It tells you why the condition of man is so evil because of sin. And it also gives you the remedy that we can use to come out of sin, faith in Christ. That's the medicine that you need, faith in Christ to come out of sin. And if you're willing to do so, God will receive into His kingdom. You know, in the book of Matthew 25 and 41, Jesus Christ had two groups of people. That's how the world's divided. Two groups, one in righteousness, the other in sin. One is on the way to heaven, the others on its way to hell. Even though we may have various types of nationalities, various types of religion, but in the end, it's only going to be two groups. Those who are serving Christ, those who are serving the devil through sin. So you can decide which group you're going to be in by what you do with Jesus Christ in this life. You can be like Saul of Tarsus. Saul made a decision to follow Christ. In the book of 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, Saul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Yes. It was God's grace that gave Saul the power to change. It can be God's grace that can give you the power to change. Yes. And His grace is found in the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have to reach out by your God-given faith and believe in that and live by that. You exercise your faith to believe somehow you're going to hit the lotto. Well, exercise your faith to believe that Jesus Christ can save your soul from God's judgment. Exercise your faith to believe that your team is going to win. So exercise your faith to believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You see how we exercise our faith in the world? To get things that's not going to make us happy in the first place. But God wants you to exercise your faith to believe in Christ. To be a vessel that can glorify Him. That's why we're here, to glorify God. Isaiah 43:7, the Bible said that God created man for His glory. You know, everything that Jesus did was to glorify God the Father. In the book of John, the 17th chapter. So when we turn our lives over to Christ and allow the Holy Spirit to live through us, we too be glorifying to God. In the book of Colossians 1:27, the Bible said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know what it is to wake up in the morning knowing that you're right with God? That's peace. Knowing that you are in right standing, knowing that you are doing things to glorify God the Father, that's peace. I used to wake up in the morning not knowing what's going to happen during that day. You know, scared, you know. You know, when you don't have any assurance of eternal life, fear comes in. You know what fear is? The lack of faith in God's word. That's fear. Amen. Anytime you have a lack of faith, fear is going to take the place of that. But when you have faith, faith will get rid of that fear. And faith is based on the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 4:18. Perfect love casts out fear. And Jesus Christ is that perfect love. Jesus said in the book of John 15:13, no greater love than this, than a man to die for his friends. And you know what? He also died for the hell-bound sinner. He died for the sinner. He took our place that we can receive his eternal life. Would you do that for your enemy? Would you go out there and be willing to go to prison with someone that you hate? No way. We don't think that way. That's why the Bible said God's thoughts are not like our thoughts, and His ways are not like our ways. Isaiah 55:7 down to verse 11. So God has agape love. That love, in spite of what you're doing, He still loves you. But He wants you to come out of that sin, so therefore He can bless you with eternal life. So a lot of people got it wrong. They say, well, I know that God loves me, and they figure, well, I can just stay in sin. He's going to still love me. He still loves you, but he's not loving what you're doing if it's in sin. That's why He tells us to come out of sin. Repent or perish. Jesus Christ says in the book of Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. To perish means you would die in your sin and spend eternity in hell. So let's have a better half. Let's have a glorious half in Christ. Open up your heart. Make that confession. That's the hardest thing to do sometimes, is confess that you're wrong. You ever notice that? You know, I said, when you're right, your chest is puffed out when you're right. But when you got to admit that you're wrong, and sometimes you got to bow your head down, you know, you kind of feel ashamed, but you have to get it out. That's what you have to do to come to God. You have to admit that you are wrong. You have to admit that God's ways is right in order to get right with God. You have to make that confession. So often people want to think about what other people think about them if they get right with God. You don't think that way when you get ready to try crack or cocaine. When you're trying to tell somebody about Christ, what will my friends say if I accept Christ? What will my family think? You know, they kind of always think about what other people think about their decision. But when it comes to sin, you don't think that way. So why not give your life over to Christ? Allow Him to make a better half, a better life for you. I look at people walking times 42nd Street. They look so sad. They look like they came from a funeral. They have no hope. The little thing that they once believed and they could see is crumbling down, is perishing. But when you have Christ, you have eternity, a graceful eternity in Christ. For the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians 4:18, for we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So those who are living for Christ, they're not concerned about the here and now, they're more concerned about the hereafter. Preparing a way to heaven. Making sure you got it right. making sure that Jesus Christ is the only way, making sure that you believe in what he teach. Some people say they believe in God, they believe in Jesus, but when you start talking to them about Jesus, they're giving you some type of a man-made doctrine, some kind of religion that has nothing to do with the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God holds each and every one of us responsible for saving our souls. Be like the Buffalo Bills. Have a better half. The Buffalo Bills won the last half, so they won the game. You know that's true. The team that wins the second half is the teams that win the game. So you can win in the second half if you give your life over and receive Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. If you're not willing to do that, you're going to remain a loser and you're going to lose your soul in hell throughout all eternity. And that's not God's will for anyone that he created on this earth to go to hell. Hell was made for the devil and his demons, not for mankind. Jesus said so, Matthew 25 and verse 41. So you don't want to go to a place called hell, because that's not God's glory. That's God's judgment. Jesus Christ and eternal life is God's glory. So why not receive that today? Why not be a winner in the second half of your life today?
Yes.
Tonight we're going to be singing from hymn number 267. What a friend we have in Jesus. 267. All stand, please. He's more than just a friend. He's our Lord and our Savior and our Redeemer and soon coming King.
To read one verse written by the Apostle Paul, led by the Holy Spirit. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. The second verse, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. And I do think about these games, the first half, second half, especially with football, when the team has lost the first half, what the coaching staff does and the quarterback, they make adjustments. They see where they went wrong and they make changes, they make adjustments. They just don't keep on the same game plan. It's not working. And can't you see those who are losing their first half that it's not working? So it's time to make adjustments. Consider your ways and amend your ways. And what's not working? You don't have Christ. You need a good coach. They said Isaiah Thomas is looking for a good coach for the Knicks. We need a good coach. And the best coach for our lives is Jesus. And then when I think of forgetting those things which are behind, for some of you who follow the Yankees, and you heard how they lost 17-1. But the players come out and Joe Torre comes out and said, you know, we just got to forget about it. We gotta play the next game altogether different. All right, you messed up, but it's time to straighten up. And we call it mercy. That's what God's mercy is. That he didn't let you die in the first half. What if you had died in the first half? It would have been hell. But God let you live to have a second half. And then the beauty after the game is won is heaven. It's heaven. Whereas the Yankees hope to get a ring and the Knicks are hoping to get a ring and the Olympics, they hope to get that gold medal. But ours is a reward that will never perish, never go away. But you got to be willing to let Jesus Christ be your coach, be your leader. So as we sing this third verse, if you want your second half to be better than your first half, come up to the altar. Be a true winner, a winner in Christ. You can come up. And we will pray with you and let Jesus be your coach.
Amen.
Are we weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with a load of care. Precious Savior, still our refuge.
Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to close in prayer by Brother Nathaniel.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we're truly thankful for this beautiful, beautiful, simple, glorious message that we have heard tonight. And Lord, I just pray for those that are still living in their sins, still on their way to hell. Father, have mercy on them. Open their spiritual eyes. Unclog their deaf ears tonight. Help them to see that in order for them to go to heaven, they need to be born again.
Yes.
Being born again meaning turning from their sins and accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of
Amen.
Their lives.
Amen.
And I pray that they will do just that, Lord, before it's eternally too late. Lord God, I just pray tonight that this message has touched somebody tonight. Touched the very depths of their souls. And Lord, I just pray tonight that this message has ministered to someone. And Lord, I just pray tonight that we will go out with more than just physical food for our bodies. Help us all to see and hear tonight that the spiritual food for our souls is more important and physical food for our bodies. So Lord, I just pray that we will gladly receive the word of God for nourishment for our souls. And may we receive physical food for our bodies, Lord, to nourish our physical bodies. And Lord, I just pray tonight that your hand of protection will be upon each and every one of us.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, I just pray that each and every one of us will remember to come back to Grace and Hope on the 27th of July. See everybody home safely, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.